Today on Secio, the impeachment trial for Secretary Mayorkas begins in the Senate, and a vote for aid to Israel coming soon this weekend.
Keeping you informed and engaged, now more than ever. This is Secio. We want to hear from you. Share and post your comments or call 1-800-684-3110. And now your host, Jordan Secio.
All right, folks, welcome to Secio. That's right. The articles of impeachment have arrived in the U.S. Senate. So these are the articles of impeachment, not of President Biden, which we're used to. We've gotten used to presidents receiving these articles of impeachment, certainly under President Trump, with twice impeached, twice acquitted by the U.S. Senate. We've, of course, worked on that first impeachment in the trial in the U.S. Senate representing President Trump. But this time around, it is Secretary Mayorkas of Health and Human Services. And we're going to break it down for you because this one could get quite interesting. Either you're going to have a full trial, so they will swear in as jurors today. Do we have an exact time on when they swear in as jurors? Is this afternoon? It should be finished. Yeah, so they'll be finished taking their oath as jurors. They don't get to actually talk. They have to handwrite questions. But that's if you get to the actual trial. The majority leader of the Senate is allowed to call for a vote to table the articles of impeachment. And what that means is you don't need a supermajority like it takes to convict. You just need 51 votes if all senators are voting. So right now there's 51 Democrats, or at least maybe a couple of independents who caucus with Democrats, and 49 Republicans. If all 51, or the majority who are there that day, vote to table the amendment, there will no longer be a Senate trial of Secretary Mayorkas. So that means the impeachment managers like Mike Johnson or Mike McCall, their congressman, of course, Andy Biggs, Marjorie Taylor Greene, Ben Klein of Virginia, and the list goes on through this, would have no opportunity to present a case before the U.S. Senate. He would not be found guilty. He would not be acquitted. It would be like, it's almost like a dismissal of a case.
Like it never happened.
Right. I mean, on paper, he was, I think, the second cabinet member in history impeached by the House. But impeachment is just like kind of like being indicted. And then you go to trial. And if you're acquitted, that's it. I mean, you won. It means that though they tried to get you, you presented evidence that you were correct. And there's a higher bar in the Senate, of course, to convict, that two-thirds majority. And again, here, what will be interesting is will the Democrat senators and even a few Republicans make it impossible for this trial to begin? And I want to ask you this. Do you think it's worthwhile to have this trial? You know the outcome. There's not going to be enough senators to convict Secretary Mayorkas. But if there was a trial allowed, what you would see, Logan, is a presentation to the American people very directly about how dangerous it is to have an open southern border,
yep,
whether you're talking about the drugs, whether you are talking about the people and the fact that we're being overrun in our towns and communities, the money it's costing towns and communities, and the terrorism that crosses over, fentanyl, the number one cause of death in America between 18 to 49 years. I mean, this whole, all of that would be like litigated to the public, and that won't happen if they take that vote, which it seems like, as of today, you were betting they would have those votes.
Yeah, I mean, I think if you could have that opportunity to showcase to the American people the atrocities that have happened under him, sure, I think it's probably worth it. It's worth putting everyone through the pain of it. But at this point, I don't know. What do you think? Give us a call, 1-800-684-3110, 1-800-684-3110. If you're watching on YouTube, vote in that poll and hit subscribe if you're not a part of the channel already. Again, like I said, phone lines are open, but you can also support the work of the ACLJ. We are headed towards the back portion of our Life and Liberty Drive in the month of April. Can you believe April is already over halfway done? We can't do it without you. We can't do any of our incredible work without you. All gifts are doubled right now. ACLJ.org. Hey, become an ACLJ champion today.
calls to 1-800-684-3110. That's 1-800-684-3110. More than 190,000 Americans have died from an overdose of fentanyl during the Biden administration. That's more than in the previous decade combined. So, again, just in this 4 years of the Biden administration, I mean, it is the number one killer of, you know, 18 to 29-year-olds. It is, again, it focuses really on the next group of American citizens. You know, it used to be, is it smoking? Was it car wrecks? Cancer? No, it is an illegal drug that is made in China, parts of it made in China, taken into Mexico, put together into some kind of form in Mexico, smuggled across the border, primarily the southern border. And then you've seen the scourge of drugs throughout the United States. This is, again, when people get hooked onto opiates, this is the cheaper next step. And it used to be things like heroin. This is even stronger and more deadly, to the point where if it gets a speck can get under your fingernail, and depending on the type of person you are and your blood type, can kill you from a speck. They find, you know, they walk into houses and people thought they were taking another kind of recreational drug, and everyone's dead.
Yeah,
or five people are barely breathing and one was able to dial 911. I mean, just it affects wealthy, it affects the poor, it affects the middle class. And again, this is why the border is important, and why part of the reason Secretary Mayorkas is being impeached in the first place is that it's a dereliction of duty, that he's not actually carrying out his functions. I mean, that's Article 1, is willful and systemic refusal to comply with the law, because again, there's a number of reasons why, not just the illegal immigrants crossing over, who then we have a tough time tracking, don't know where they go, don't have resources, end up filling up hotels in New York. The mayor of New York is saying it's crashing their school system. And it's happened. So it happens even in places that aren't border states. But again, we have laws on the book. You don't need more laws. I mean, Logan, that's the thing. People always say, do you need more laws here? You don't need more laws. You just need enforcement of the laws.
Yeah,
the enforcement of the laws gives the federal government great power. That's why President Trump was able to go in. The only thing controversial was the wall. It wasn't controversial to say, we're going to put more agents on the border. We're going to arrest as many as we want. We're going to treat asylum claims differently. We're going to make you wait in a safe country before your trial. And then if you really believe you've got an asylum claim, then you can come into the courtroom and have your asylum claim heard. But instead, we've made the whole country a sanctuary city.
Yeah, and I think you're right. When people brought up the fact that you could take such small amounts of this, or not even, they've had children who have just come into exposure of it via, like you said, a dust particle, if you will, that are ending up either seriously injured or have died. It is just a horrible, horrible situation. And when you have the border like this, when you have these impeachment calls, sure, there is a want to expose. There's a want to tell people about it. But we also have some calls coming in related about this, and I think we should take these early on.
And I really want to hear from you on this. Do you think, because again, there's always a question about impeachment. Is it worth going through the process? Not so much in the House, because in the House, they were able to tell the story and hold the hearings, and they knew they had the votes to impeach. It just takes a majority vote. But in the Senate, the party in charge, which is the Democrat Party, can kill the trial with a majority vote. So they don't have to have a supermajority to kill the trial. So if Chuck Schumer can get 51 votes this afternoon, there's no impeachment trial. This is over. So 1-800-684-3110. Let's go to Julia first in Nevada on line one. Hey, Julia.
Hey. Thanks for taking my call, and God bless you all for what you do for us. And I just want to say that I absolutely... Now, you're saying if he goes to the Senate... I thought it would be better than the American people could see him and what's really going on. I feel like a lot of people are not awake.
See, here's the issue, right? First of all, it is going to the Senate. He doesn't sit there during the trial. So what happens is like a normal trial, you will have the House managers. They are Republican members of Congress, in this case. When we were representing President Trump, it was a mix of outside private counsel, that's what we were, and White House counsel mixed together, so government and non-government attorneys. And then presenting the case against President Trump were, you know, Adam Schiff, and the list goes on. These were House Democrats. This, now it flips. But, and you go back and forth. You present your evidence to the Senate. The senators are not allowed to talk. They have to submit written questions. I have the card still in my desk here where they have to write their little questions on. Sometimes they can put like three of them can ask a question and the Chief Justice of the United States would read the question out. But before this all happens, Chuck Schumer can move for a vote as majority leader. And if he gets 51 votes, no impeachment trial. And I mean, I don't think you can really blame Republicans for that, Logan. All you could do is say they knew this going in. Then it was unlikely they could get enough pressure on Chuck Schumer to probably be afraid of holding this vote. Because Mayorkas, while the immigration issue is a household name because of all of the problems that have come with illegal immigration on our southern border, Mayorkas is not. And sometimes impeaching cabinet members is not so interesting to the American people at large. To our audience, yes. To the American people at large, harder to keep their attention.
They probably don't
on.
Even know his name.
And sometimes you think this too, and I think this, and I know you could argue, and the members of Congress, the House would tell me why I'm wrong, but from an outsider's perspective, he works for the president. Why are we? Wouldn't you impeach Biden for keeping him as secretary? Now that would have gotten a lot more attention. I still think they would have dismissed it with the 51-49, but. Isn't he ultimately responsible? The buck stops with him, not with Mayorkas.
Which is just these razor-thin majorities at this point and what that looks like heading into an election season.
Yeah, I mean, well, when you have 51 Senate Democrats, 49 Republicans, a couple of those Democrats are not even Democrats. They're independents who caucus with Democrats. So it's really like 49-49, and I think two independents that caucus with them. That's the U.S. Senate. I mean... Again, everything is razor thin unless it's a very bipartisan piece of legislation. For instance, they're going to vote this weekend in the House on the funding to Israel, on the funding to Ukraine, on the funding to Taiwan, and the funding of our U.S. military. But they're not going to do it all in one vote because they knew that if you tried to do it all in one vote, it might not pass because you've got Democrats who don't want to vote for Israel. You've also got, and I don't think it's majority, but some, more than we've ever seen before. You've got Republicans who don't want to send more money to Ukraine. That's probably a lot of Republicans before that there is accounting done of the money we have already sent to Ukraine. So that's all been divided up. And that was the way of figuring out how do we get those through, really, for our ally Israel, but still allow the Democrats to get their vote on Ukraine. Taiwan, I think, is probably pretty bipartisan because, again, we lose Taiwan, we lose the it's South Korea and Taiwan that make the semiconductors. So you'd be down to one country that can actually produce semiconductors, which is how we basically do everything in our lives, from our cars to your phones to the computers to this broadcast that you're hearing right now. However you're hearing it is powered by, in some shape or form, a semiconductor that's made in either Taiwan or that is made in South Korea.
And we've said that before. It's like it's the idea of even cutting off a China or something like that. It's at this point, it's impossible. It's now figuring out how you work within those things. But there's too much that we are all reliant on, including, like you said, how you're even watching this broadcast, how you're even listening to this. Let's go ahead and take another call. Let's go to Ann, who's calling in North Carolina on line two. Listen on the radio. Ann, you're on the air.
Hey, Ann.
Hi, guys. Thank you so much for all that you do. You had asked for a comment regarding whether we thought this trial should happen or not. I would love to see it happen if the truth were shown on 6 o'clock news for a week, but the media is not going to cooperate in any way, shape, or form. And if it's just going to be buried like all the other Democrat criminal activity that has gone on for the last 50 years, I'm 75, so I can say that. Then there's no point to a trial. We might as well scoop it under because what's going to happen is, just like what always happens, the Republicans will get blamed for being overzealous and trying to pin something on the Democrats that just wasn't true. So unless we can do this right and get the media in our corner, I don't think it's worth it.
Well, I think, again, you have to always measure things with what do you feel like you must do by conviction? You know, we can't do everything based off of will we get media attention. You have to do what's right and wrong, and also what's smart. And I think here they've in the House they wanted to have the discussion, which they had for months, on why they believe this was so important, why Mayorkas should be impeached, why it's again he's refusing to enforce the laws that he took an oath to enforce. It also kind of puts that on the Biden team as well. I think what's, again, unique about this and the risk that you take is that when you've got a Democrat-controlled Senate, so you're going from Republican House to Democrat-controlled Senate, if Chuck Schumer's got the votes together, and I'm not saying he 100% does, but if he does, this means that it's a trial that never happens. The trial won't occur. And I think we'll know that by this afternoon, unless something other procedural issue comes up. We are taking your calls, 1-800-684-3110. If you've got questions about this as well, we've got more to update you on, too. Some ACLJ victories.
Yeah, big news.
Support the work of the ACLJ during our Life and Liberty Challenge. Folks, this is a critical time for your financial support, and you double the impact of your donation today at ACLJ.org. Be part of that. Double the impact of your donation. Right now, donate. ACLJ. Welcome back to Secio. We are taking your calls to 1-800-684-3110. That's 1-800-684-3110. As we were talking about the impeachment trial that could take place in the U.S. Senate, we just heard that Senator Schumer, who is the majority leader, did just speak on the Senate floor on the impeachment. He did not say yet whether they would vote to dismiss. That was the 51-49 vote. Now, he didn't have to say it right then. But he did make remarks. He could have said it then. That might be something they're working on behind the scenes inside the Democrat caucus. There are even some Republicans who have floated the idea that they don't believe impeaching the cabinet secretary for what is ultimately someone who's following the direction of a president. So even some Republicans feel that way. But he did say that they will deal with the impeachment expeditiously. So I don't know what he's up to yet on the Democrat side, but I feel like we will know very soon, because either a trial begins or something else happens. And what likely I think happens is that ultimately this comes to a vote if he's got them and they dismiss it. Now, if his party feels like if we don't do this is going to hurt us, too many of us in these purple states, they might have to have the trial. Now, the trial he might not get convicted, but there's always that political concern that Chuck Schumer has to take into account, that everybody is not a U.S. A senator from the state of New York. So you have to take that into account, too. We have a big ACLJ victory to announce.
Yeah, because I think we got to talk about that.
This is a very cool one because of how, again, it shows you the ACLJ can work. I want to go to Cece Howe because, Cece, we were contacted by a parent of a high school student, also a parent who served on a school board. It's Lake Central School Corporation in Indiana. And tell us what happened when that parent contacted us through ACLJ.org/help, which is where you go, folks, if you think you need the ACLJ's assistance.
Yeah, this was a case where this parent had two children, two daughters that ran on a track team. And they would pray before their track meets. And they literally had the track coach come up and tell them, "Don't let me see you do that again." And then later on, about 2 days later at another meet, he doubled down and he said the only thing that they can do is be seen being in an individualized moment of reflection. And then he doubled down again, I would say tripled down, and basically said that individualized moment of reflection could only be 5 seconds. So as soon as we were alerted by the parents, we took action. We contacted the school. In this situation, we actually had to file a lawsuit. But as soon as we filed that lawsuit, we entered into settlement negotiations the very next day, and we have settled this case really very successfully. The school board is going to adopt a policy that's based on the United States Constitution and Indiana law that provides public school students may pray or engage in religious activities or religious expressions before, during, and after the school day in the same manner and to the same extent that students may engage in non-religious activities or expression. And what's great is they have to post that on their website, and they actually have a statement in bold red on their website that says that. It literally says Lake Central School Corporation has amicably resolved the recent lawsuit with the ACLJ. And then they make the statement about a student's right to be able to engage in prayer before, during, and after school, and definitely before any athletic events. So it was a great win, not only for our clients, but all of the current students in the Lake Central District, and as well as all future students of this school.
And really any school, because it also shows that you can, I mean, we do these lawsuits, we file a lawsuit, but now, you know, talk about embarrassing the school, essentially, in some ways. They're having to put this on their website saying, yes, we know, we've resolved it. Not only that, yes, they can pray now in big rolled letters, you know, like a warning, I mean, like a tornado warning.
We have had to resolve, we've resolved the recent lawsuit with the ACLJ. I mean, that's the first line.
Which also made it win around the school enough to the people and parents knew this was happening.
Right.
And they were able to take action. It's very cool. I'm glad we're able to do this still on this individual level. Again, sending sort of a message, a shockwave through the school systems, which are needed right now, dramatically, that you can't push around your students of faith.
Yeah, I mean, and like targeting these kids and high school students. In this specific scenario, like what happened here? Was it a teacher that approached the student that just said, you can't pray anymore? Was there a policy? Yeah.
So, you know, the school would basically say, oh, yeah, we can allow, students can pray. But what was happening, the actual thing that was happening was these students gathered before a track meet to pray. And the track coach saw them praying and literally said to them, don't let me see you do that again.
I wish you could see it on a computer screen.
Yeah, we're showing it right now on the screen.
It's the biggest thing on their website.
If you're on their front page, and maybe if your computer is, maybe you have to scroll down one little notch, and you'll see this giant, after important news, you'll see this giant, looks like a warning if there was like a weather emergency, and it was just to tell people, we've handled it, because I'm sure they were getting a lot of grief, not just from other members of faculty, I'm sure they were getting a lot of grief from parents. I can't imagine that this is something they don't want to be making. One, no one wants their kids' schools in the news, and they certainly don't want it in the news for this.
Yeah, for telling the kids, you know, you can't pray this way, you can't pray that way. It's again, the idea here, though, why these victories are important, CC, is when you win inside a school district, or here they call it a corporation in Indiana, you're winning for, in this case, 10 different schools.
That's right.
And the rest of the Indiana school systems know, they better not do the same thing, or else every other Indiana school system will have two choices. You can go to court against the ACLJ and lose, or you can settle it and do the right thing and even make the teacher apologize, or the coach apologize.
He has to have a written apology, yes. And that they all have to have training.
Yes.
All the staff and
oh, good.
Yes,
dude,
they all
to make
have
them
to
sit
be trained.
And be trained.
Yes.
I love when we make them have to do that, where they have to actually sit there and listen about how they're supposed to be treating their students and not mistreating their students. Because, again, too often it's like off-the-cuff enforcement of rules at these schools, and that is not right for any of the students. And they pick on the kids, of course, who are, you know, the ones saying prayer. I bet those kids are the ones who are really the most disruptive on the team.
Yeah.
You know, that kid who likes to say a prayer before the game. But a great victory there. And, Logan, again, an example of ACLJ resources at work, and how these school districts, they didn't just say, like, we resolved this. It says, we resolved this with the ACLJ.
Yeah, exactly. That's like, what made the attention. Yeah, the American Center for Law and Justice. We can't do that either without you. Because you know what? We didn't charge anyone to do this.
Nope.
There was no, you know, going in there and saying, okay, to retain this lawyer, here's the thousands and tens of thousands of dollars this would have cost you if you would have done it. No, at the ACLJ, we do it absolutely for free for at any level, whether you are, you know, needing help at this level, if you're a student who's trying to pray, or you are a leader of a worldwide country, we're there for you. If you're religious, if there's religious persecution happening to you around the world, we can be there. We can help you. Go to aclj.org/help. If you need legal help. But right now, we are over halfway through our Life and Liberty Drive. That is right. All donations made are doubled. We can't do this work, because you can't be able to successfully defend these kids in need if you don't have the best of the best. And you can't do that unless we can afford the best of the best. And how does that work? Because we don't want to offer, we don't want to charge anybody. That is because you are a supporter. So go to aclj.org and become an ACLJ champion. We're about to cross that 21,000 goal. Last time I looked, we were one away. So you could be that one in 21,000. Do it right now. Become an ACLJ champion. That's someone's dedicated to becoming a monthly supporter. You set the baseline of what we can take on, like cases like you just heard CC talk about. We'll be right back with more on Seculo. Second half hour coming right up in under 1 minute.
keeping you informed and engaged. Now, more than ever, this is Seculo. And now your host, Jordan Seculo.
All right, welcome back to Seculo. We are taking your calls to 1-800-684-3110. So happening today in the U.S. Senate, and we don't know exactly how it's going to happen. We know the articles of impeachment were delivered against Secretary Mayorkas. It's two articles against the Secretary of Homeland Security, who we've certainly had our issues with. We mounted a campaign of about 7,500 letters to the House of Representatives calling for that impeachment. And again, because you wanted to kind of like litigate even in the House, why? You know, why do you feel like you impeached it? And I get why some people will say, well, you should impeach the president because the buck stops with them. But the issue was that we wanted to bring the issue of the problems at the border. That wasn't just the amount of people. The amount of people is very high. It's also, Logan, just when we scroll through the numbers, the amount of terrorists. I mean, when you look through the number, in fiscal year 2023, 736 encounters with illegal immigrants on the terrorist watch list at the U.S. southern border.
Right, that's just the
most
terror watch
in the past
list.
6 years. 736 last year.
That's insane. And of course, we have the horrifying numbers of over 190,000 Americans.
These are people who've done something bad enough to get on a terrorism watch list.
Yeah.
Not a criminal watch list, not a drug watch list, terrorism watch list. 736 encounters. So how many got through that weren't encountered? You know, I love that word, encountered. 736 encountered. They apprehended, okay, this is how we know. They only apprehended 169 people on the FBI's terrorism watch list at the southern border in 2023.
Yep.
So, almost 600 roaming around.
And like you said, about 190,000 Americans have died of overdoses from fentanyl, even just during this administration. We know where most of that is coming in from. So, just horrifying numbers. Let's go ahead and take some phone calls real quick, because a lot of people are calling on Mayorkas and on the border. Let's go to Stan, who's calling on line three. Let's listen on the radio. Stan, you're on the air.
Hey, greetings. How's it going?
Good.
My thought is simply this. I kind of think it's a little bit of optics, and it's sort of a damned if you do, damned if you don't, simply because this. You're talking about 190,000 adolescents, 18 to 29 age group that have passed away behind this. Democrats and Republicans have children too, and it really puts them in an awkward position. I think that more than likely, and this is just my speculative thought, that these rhinos and Dems, they don't mind doubling down. So I think that they'll just kind of sweep it, simply because if there was a trial and then you had that public exposure and you get into maybe a little bit of the inner workings of what they have and haven't done. That's
what you'll know is that they don't strongly enforce the border policy. And anytime someone else tries to, they take it away. And the Supreme Court, unfortunately, has put, their case policy. I don't even know if it's wrong. It's just they say, you know what, the border is the federal government's duty. It's Congress's duty. And so because of that, states don't get to decide unless the federal government brings them in. So when Texas tries to go harder, Biden can say, no, you can't.
Yeah, absolutely. Hey, let's go quickly to Carol on line five to sort of wrap up this conversation. You're on hold, though. Stay on hold. We're going to get to you in the final segment of the broadcast in just about 10 minutes or so. So, Carol, you're on the air.
Okay, well, I feel like that the House needs to hold people accountable when they are not doing their job and they're breaking the laws. And I feel like the impeachment proceedings should go forward so that the people can hear all the evidence on both sides. And if Mayorkas is doing such a wonderful job, we want to hear what he's doing that's wonderful. And the same on the House side, what he's doing that
Carol,
is wrong.
Carol's in favor of a trial to have him impeached, even though knowing, sadly, we live in such a partisan world. In a partisan House and Senate, you know how the votes are going to end up.
Right.
Which is sort of the sad part about this. It doesn't really matter what's said in that.
The only question is whether they have no trial at all, because that takes 51 votes, or if they acquit, because that takes anything less than two-thirds. It takes two-thirds to convict.
Yep.
So they're not getting there.
Hey, we just hit 21,001 ACLJ champions.
Pretty
so
awesome.
Be a part of it right now.
Welcome back to Secule. We are taking your calls, 2-1-800-684-3110. And next segment of the broadcast, Logan, we'll take a lot of calls.
Yeah, absolutely. So stay on hold if you're on
hold. We've only got one phone line open, so 1-800-684-3110 if you want to grab that line. But I want to go to Jeff Balaban as well, who oversees our office in Jerusalem, ACLJ Jerusalem. And Jeff, we've got new threats from Iran. We did an entire broadcast yesterday really focusing in with Israeli leaders and people that you work with in Israel about this idea that that the world, even allies of Israel, who assisted Israel, by the way, in making sure that 99% of those drones and missiles that were fired from Iran were shot down before they entered Israeli territory, so that again, it was not a catastrophic loss of life, though there was loss of life, that, again, at the hands of Iran, that Israel's being told, basically, don't respond militarily. And we even saw Jeff, I thought, was the first offer from Israel, which was, we're actually looking for strong economic sanctions on Iran, because we know that's what really cripples the regime, not just firing missiles and taking out more Iranian Revolutionary Guard. But it just doesn't seem like the world is at a point yet where it's ready to maybe more than so than just, you know, the United States. But it takes, you know, more than one country to put sanctions on Iran that work. And this administration lifted those sanctions. But I don't like the fact that the rest of the world, Jeff, is telling Israel how to respond to thousands of drones and ballistic missiles being fired at them.
It's extraordinary, Jordan. And let's put this in context also. It's not as though the nations that helped Israel combat these drones and missiles and rockets are necessarily Israel's friends. You know, the very famous, the enemy of my enemy, right, is my friend. Well, they're not necessarily friends, but right now they're strategic allies because, you know, for decades it's been this not very closely held secret that Israel is a nuclear power. And that, in fact, was an area that was targeted by Iran. And what's interesting is that only when Iran wants to get nukes does the entire Middle East erupt, because they recognize that Israel is a peaceful state that just wants to live in peace. With all the wars they've waged against Israel, they know Israel has no designs on taking anybody's land. Iran, on the other hand, poses a direct threat. So when Iran talks about going nuclear or getting close to nuclear, that alarms the Saudis, the Egyptians, the Jordanians, that alarms the entire region. And all of those, again, they're not necessarily America's friends, but they are America's allies, or have been, to stabilize the most unstable, violent region in the world and the greatest threat to global stability and to America itself. And so here they're coming to Israel's aid. Doesn't necessarily mean they love Israel. It means they recognize that Iran is truly a regional and, in fact, a global threat. And so to tell Israel, to lecture Israel what it should respond, seems not just short-sighted, but honestly, as we say, chutzpah. You know, it's a lot of chutzpah for these nations to tell Israel, who's just suffered genocidal threats from within and now without, to back off. It's almost like they're issuing threats. Give Israel room. Give Israel latitude. Let Iran know that Israel, everything is on the table for Israel. That's the way forward to stability.
Yeah, I mean, that's what I mean, Jeff. It's like at this point, after October 7th, and, you know, you had the world saying, oh, this was horrible until Israel responded. And then Iran sends in this unprecedented red line that they've crossed. If this happened to the United States, any country who did this to the United States, I mean, they'd be flattened. Their capital, I don't even know if we would wait for time to sanction. I think that they would be flattened before those drones even got halfway to our country. But if it's Israel, a country of 7 million versus Iran, which is what, a country of 80 million or so, that is willing to shoot ballistic missiles at them, they can't respond militarily.
That's right. Look, let's be clear. Just like we see for Joe Biden, where no one's even hiding, no one's pretending that this is not about domestic electoral concerns, about the extreme fringe of the Democratic Party, about Michigan and Minnesota. The moral debasement of our nation in turning its back on the Jewish state when it's undergoing the worst atrocities since the Holocaust it's honestly beyond words. And I wish you're right, Jordan. I hope that America would respond in strength. I have no idea what this administration would do if America were directly attacked. In fact, America is being directly attacked. We don't have a southern border. We don't know how many cartel members and how many jihadis are in our state. So we're presiding over the demise of America as well, but America has much larger margins to exist than Israel does. Israel exists always on the knife's edge. And so for these nations, including nations in Western Europe that are no longer so Western, many of them have massive no-go zones because they've allowed so much of a Middle Eastern presence in their own countries, and now they're presuming to tell Israel how to survive. They lack the moral knowledge, the moral decency, and the experience in survival to tell the Jewish state or to tell Jews anywhere how to survive.
It seems like this is also coming at a time where American companies are also feeling the pressure. You're having that issue. It's almost as if, again, this was like Russia at this point, where it's like, can you do business? We had Google yesterday. You know, you had dozens of employees essentially have a sit-in where they protest over the fact that Project Nimbus, it's a $1.2 billion project with the Israeli government that Google and Amazon have, that the employees themselves are protesting this, including taking over the CEO's office of Google for about 9 hours yesterday. When you see that kind of pressure happening, eventually arrests are made, much like what happened to the Golden Gate Bridge. Eventually, we'll hit the point where you go, okay, this is enough here. But the bullying and the harassment that's now coming from even inside corporate America, that the pressure is starting to build, and they're sadly are going to have to respond. It's just whether they're going to respond in a way that actually makes sense, which is, of course, why is there a $1.2 billion deal with Israel? Because they're one of the leading countries in technology. But that doesn't seem to matter right now.
Americans' lives would be so impoverished if we didn't have daily basis the innovations that have come out of Israel in the last few decades. Tiny country, tiny population, massive innovation. And America, by the way, not just in our daily lives, but our defense and security relies at this point very heavily on technologies we, America, gets out of Israel. I mean, we just saw astonishing new technologies that are a result of Israel's own innovation that America now has the advantage of, and it matters because Iran has intercontinental ballistic missiles, which can reach America. And so this is always to our advantage in America to work closely with Israel, but we have this generation that has been raised to simply hate Israel. It's not about what Israel does, it's about who Israel is. Just like in America, Jews are now being pushed out of the public square, and Jews are being pushed out of corporate offices and academia, so too, that's the way Israel as a nation is being treated. It's just an avatar for the Jews, and they'll use any excuse possible. So no matter what Israel does or doesn't do, Israel's genocidal. I mean, Logan, we just saw that even Hamas had to back off the lies about how many people were killed right in Gaza. So now we know that the death toll, even according to Hamas's number, is less than one non-combatant to one terrorist, which is an astonishing accomplishment. No country in history has had such a low non-combatant death count. And yet, to these people, Israel is anathema. Again, it's not what Israel does. It's who Israel is. They're Jews. That's it.
And sadly, that number doesn't get reported as widely. Obviously, if you're like us, you're following all these accounts that do cover what's going on in Israel, the true facts that are happening, a lot of Zionist groups and those kind of things. But that doesn't become the headline you see on CNN. Hey, Hamas actually has to admit the numbers aren't quite what they seem. That's never going to be reported on the mainstream media.
No, it's vitally important. And what you're talking about, what both you and Jordan are talking about, it's come to our shores. I mean, people are out in the streets. They're attacking. There was just a scene in New York where somebody went flying an American flag just to see what would happen at a, quote, pro-Palestine rally. They literally set his American flag on fire and tried to set his shirt on fire. He was holding an American flag, not an Israeli flag. This is what's happening in our own shores. This is a cultural war. And yeah, that's why we try to approach it at ACLG on all fronts. As you say, it's just as much a domestic issue as it is a foreign issue. It's just a major war for the survival of our civilization.
Jeff, as always, we appreciate all of your insight into Israel, Ben, being there for us at ACLJ Jerusalem, a really unprecedented time for Israel because you have, of course, the attacks of October 7th. Now you've had the attack by Iran. We await, the Israel's response. And I think, Jeff, final to you, I mean, the first response from Israel wasn't military. It was the world needs to come together right now and economically cripple Iran through sanctions. But it doesn't sound like the world is going to do that.
No, it's listen, even the so-called Iran deal that Obama pushed and America didn't want. Biden's trying to push. That deal is explicitly agrees that Iran will become a nuclear weaponized power. It agrees. It's just a question of how many years. That's insane. We can never allow, I mean, not the nation of Iran, but the Iran under this regime, these mullahs who chant death to America and mean it. It's insane for us to allow them to go nuclear. And yet that's where this administration started from.
Jeff, as always, we appreciate your insight. Jeff Balaban oversees our office in ACLJ. Jerusalem and Logan, we've had that office out for, over a decade. And that's because of, again, financial support of our donors to the American Center for Law and Justice.
That's right. Support us now during our Life and Liberty Drive. We're a little over halfway done with it. And we just hit a goal of 21,000. We're actually, I think, at 21,002 last I looked. ACLJ champions.
What does that mean?
That's people who give each and every month. They've dedicated on a recurring basis to help set a baseline for us as we prepare for the ongoing fights that happen in our country and in Israel and all over the world. To be honest, we are there. You've heard now from our office in ACLJ Jerusalem all the way to a kid who can't pray at his track meet. We are there on all fronts. We'll be right back taking your calls coming up.
All right, welcome back to Secio. We told you there would be a vote, it looks like, again, over the weekend on these different aid packages to foreign countries engaged in conflict. And they are, again, instead of all combined together, which is what you saw Democrats initially want, which was making it tough for any of this aid packages to get through, because I think they calculated, at least Democrat leadership, that well, Republicans would vote for it if we throw Israel in, and then they weren't, and they were saying, no, we need to break these out. Now, Speaker Johnson has done just that, so there'll be a vote on Israeli aid, there'll be a vote on aid to Ukraine, there'll be a vote on aid to Taiwan, and then a vote on providing more money to our own military. So it'll be four separate votes, yep. And then the Senate again. I think that may not have been how Democrats wanted it, but again, likely those will all pass. They'll just pass with different votes. For instance, with Israel, I think you're going to see most Republicans. You might lose a few, and most Democrats, you'll lose more than a few, definitely. Vote to fund Israel. We know now that the Israel funding would be $4 billion for this Secretary of Defense to provide the government of Israel for the procurement of the Iron Dome and David Sling a defense system to counter short-range rocket threats, and again, to kind of like as you were talking about, Logan, because they were depleted during this onslaught by Iran, and another $1.2 billion for the Secretary of Defense to provide to the government of Israel for the procurement of the Iron Dome, the Iron Beam defense system that counters short-range rocket threats as well. So, again, you've got there over $5 billion in aid. This is emergency aid separate from the aid that we provide to our ally Israel each year because of the ongoing attacks that they have been through. So I think, again, you get majority Republican, not all, but a vast majority of Republicans and a lot of Democrats in the House and Senate will vote for that. Then you get to the Ukraine vote and you're going to get less Republicans voting for it. A lot of Democrats voting for it. I think it probably ends up passing the House. I think that's same for Taiwan, same for the funding of the U.S. So I think, interestingly enough, all four will pass. They will just pass with different majorities.
Yeah, absolutely. Let's go ahead and take some phone calls. Lottie's been holding for a long time. David's calling in Florida on line two. Listen on the radio. Been on hold for 34 minutes. We appreciate it, David. You're on the air.
Oh, not at all. Wasted time, gentlemen. Your words are fantastic. Hey, the ACLJ, you guys are you're the antidote to my growing cynicism in the concept of rule of law. So thank you for your tireless efforts.
Yeah, thank you. Thank you for paying attention. We appreciate it.
Also, if you ever get a chance to talk about the responsibility of the lesser magistrate and what that means and how it applies to Mayorkas and others in positions where it's their responsibility to resign when they can no longer, when principles are conflicting with expediency. And I appreciate that you guys do support it, and I hope that more comes out because this is tragic. In my office, we have a saying, because I am in this business, that Iran has successfully deterred the United States since 1979. And having just come back from Israel last summer, it's far, far more real to me. I have new friends that are there now. And again, thank you, David, for everything you're doing.
Thank you. David, thank you for calling. And look, I think if we're asking for a point where someone feels like they got to resign, I think in modern day politics, that's just certainly... I think we see that in a presidential election right now. I don't think that I don't think that happens.
No.
I mean, as much as David, it feels like that should be the case.
No, he's not going to resign. At most, he's going to be, if he resigned, it'd be because he got fired, and that means the president would hand in his resignation, and the president would accept it, effectively being fired.
Not going to happen
in a nicer way. And what we've seen is that over time, and I think the midterms had a lot to do with this when they didn't take the losses, Logan, in the last midterm election, that remember was going to be a Republican red wave, and there wasn't. I think Mayorkas may have gone. I think he would have probably been kicked off the Biden team and kicked out of the administration. But you know what they said? He can take this heat, and it keeps it off Biden, and it didn't hurt us electorally. So let's keep him on.
Right, let's keep it going. Glenda's calling in California. Also been a hold of half an hour. Glenda, welcome.
Thank you. Thank you so much for taking my call. Now, I'm an older lady, and I believe that he should be impeached. And if he's not, if they vote the other way, I think the people should have their names published and how they voted so that the American people can see that they're voting to continue killing Americans.
Well, listen, people, I think at this point do know. I mean, you're going into a political season, Logan, where there's going to be plenty of ads. I don't think people will be able to get away from them if they pay attention at all to.
But you understand Glenda's feeling of being like you want to see someone have to own up to all of this when you have so many deaths,
right? I mean, listen, the problem is they're politicians, and they won't, and they'll come up with excuses. Well, yes, this is bad, but so is this is bad, and this is bad, and that's bad, and this is bad. And again, instead, you know what you have to do? Instead of waiting for them to feel bad or apologize, you know what you have to do? Put people in who are going to be effective at their job, and we'll get something done. So the numbers start going down. Don't wait for them to grow a heart and feel so bad and be so sorry for what they've done. Just get the right people in to do the job. Get the deaths moving down. Yep. Take on the bad guys. That means in China. That means in Mexico. So those drugs don't get here.
We're going to try to get to a couple quick more. Let's go to D in Colorado watching on YouTube. D, also holding close to half an hour. Quickly with your comment.
Thank you. I was wondering if the trial does happen and he is impeached, how does this place get refilled? Who fills it? And are we even better?
Well, I mean, obviously, he would be, so if he was impeached and found guilty, he's removed. Probably a deputy is interim. So you'd have an interim Homeland Security Secretary that could be named by the president. They don't have to be confirmed. And then you'd have to go through a confirmation process. And right now, it would be President Biden who would select him.
Probably no.
Would they be that different? No, not. They may not be as well known. It might be someone from the bureaucracy to finish out these few months before the election, but ultimately, no.
Let's quickly take Michael, if we can, in Colorado. Michael, you have to keep it quick because we're running out of time, but I appreciate you holding. You're on the air.
Absolutely. Well, first of all, Jordan and Logan, thank you so much for taking my call. I'm a huge fan of you. I'm 28 years old, and I really respect what you do. Really quickly on Iran, I was going to talk about this. So first of all, what I kind of see with, my generation is they don't take the time to really understand the history of what's going on with the Iran situation. I think it was, Henry Kissinger made a really poignant quote that a lot of the younger people don't understand to take the time to understand the history of why they're getting mad at him for doing what he did. It kind of applies in this situation as well. The point I was going to make really quick, John Kirby this past weekend said that Trump has emboldened Iran. My question is, can the Biden team's lies and the media kind of propagating these lies be enough to convince or to deceive enough low IQ voters not to vote for Trump?
Listen, I think here's the deal. It takes a lot to get voters educated on foreign policy. I think what you have to do is you have to boil it down to the basics of the issues they care about the most. Our national security is tied to Israel's national security. Why? Iran, they'd love to destroy Israel first, but then they're coming for us. Little Satan, we're the great Satan. So that's why, again, they see us as the bigger enemy.
Their words.
Yeah, not ours. But, and again, you can explain it to people that way. That's why Israel is a unique ally. They are the front line on the war of terror, the same war, the terrorists that want you to defeat us here. You got to explain it that way. Support the work of the ACLJ, folks. ACLJ.org. It's our Life and Liberty Challenge. Donate today. We need you. ACLJ.